come there. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at five short verses. And I want to talk to you this morning about hope that does not disappoint. Hope that does not disappoint. Hope that does not disappoint. Get that phrase in your heart. Father, as we come to your word this morning, I pray that you would be our teacher, Holy Spirit, that you would open up the word and give us understanding. I pray that you would direct my words and that you would really hide the word deeply in our hearts. I pray that we could come to understand the hope of our calling and come to be anchored in hope, a hope that never disappoints. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to, first of all, just talk a little bit about what hope is. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, we read that scripture, very famous. Now there abide these three things, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? Love. And then we talk a lot about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Father. We talk about the spiritual armor, having the shield of faith. And there are churches and their names are first faith of this and the faith that and faith, you know, and we love faith and we love love and we don't really understand hope a whole lot. Hope is that thing that if we don't have it, we're in bad shape. If we don't understand it, we're in bad shape too. So I just want to give you just a working definition of what hope is, both from the Greek text and also from just good old Webster and Webster's dictionary. The word in the Greek, the word hope, as it's written in the New Testament, and primarily Paul is the one who writes about hope in his epistles. It means, it has the idea of anticipation, or better yet, expectation. And it's not just expectation of something that's nebulous or something that's far away or something that's unattainable, but it's expectation of something that is good or favorable. So everyone got that? Expectation of something that is good or favorable. Here's the way Webster defines it. I'm going to read the complete definition because he kind of adds a few walls and he kind of furnishes it a little bit. It says, a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it or a belief that it is obtainable. Hope differs from wish. You ever say that? I sure wish. Hope differs from wish and desire in this. This implies that it implies some expectation of attaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives the pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. So we can wish that something will happen, and it doesn't happen, and we get depressed. But when we hope, hope lifts us above the tyranny of wish and desire. Now, our usual concept of hope is tied to something we want or need. You know, I hope I can get a new car this year. Or I sure hope I can get a new job because this one really, bleh. Or when I was young going to college, it was, I sure hope I find the girl that I can spend the rest of my life with. I mean, that was like my main objective rather than studying. I remember that when I first got to college and I got in my dorm, they had the last year's yearbook and I started paging it, looking at all the girls to see who I might zone in on to ask out, right? And I'll never forget, there was a picture of Karen and she was in this football jersey. And she was soaked to the skin. They had hazed her by throwing her into the river, and they took a picture of her when she was out of the river, all wet and soaked. And I said, I like that girl. So I had this expectation, this hope of finding someone that I could spend my life with. In other words, when we usually think about hope, it's tied to circumstances in our lives. I mean, I can talk to you about the hope of eternal life, and really, that's what hope really is about in the Bible. But when we talk about hope, it really zeroes down into the very nitty-gritty of where we live. I mean, do you find yourself saying that I hope, and you know, and we want to wake up with expectation of something good. How many of you would like, you know, yeah. When you go on vacation, it's always filled with hope, expectation, and sometimes it is accompanied with other things too, but you know, usually there's hope. And so the big question, the $24 question, whoever made up that phrase, the $24 question, where did that come? Was that a game show or something? Okay, thank you. I was wondering what the origin of that phrase was. I thought $24 won't buy you very much today, so the $24 question really is probably, now would be like the $24 million question. $24,000? Okay. Anyway, the question, the big question, you know, you're the easiest group to lose. I mean, you know, man. Okay, I just rewound that. The big question is, how do we walk in hope when all the circumstances in our life are pointing the wrong way? So, you know, I've got to share some things with you personally this morning as a congregation, because I have to let you know what's going on in my life. And let me say, first of all, I'm not resigning. Normally, when a pastor says, I really got to share something with you, and then don't you hate that, you know, when a pastor then just resigns during a sermon? I think that stinks. I'm not planning on going anywhere, folks, but if I ever resign and God called me away, I wouldn't do it from the pulpit on a Sunday morning. So never fear when I say I've got something personal to tell you. I'm not, you know, some of you say, shoot, I wish he was resigning. Anyway, I'm kidding. Oh, you're a fun group. Anyway, as you all know, in 2003, I had heart valve replacement surgery. And I had to get an artificial heart valve put in my heart because my aortic valve stopped working and I almost died. So I got this artificial heart valve 11 years ago, a little over 11 years ago, and I've been doing good. And I've been taking, I have to take Coumadin, as you know, and that keeps your blood thin. Some of you had to do that for other medical reasons. And it kind of stinks. Coumadin kind of stinks. It's really rat poison. So if I ever walk around, I start going like this. You know, that's one of the side effects of Coumadin. If we have a potluck dinner and you see me kind of hoarding the cheese, just kind of remind me, you know, that's kind of the side effect of Coumadin. So as part of this whole health journey, I have to go to the cardiologist every 6 months, and I have to get tests all the time. I've had every test that you can have for the heart and everything, and I got a great cardiologist, and I went in for my recent appointment, and this young guy who's kind of like an intern came in, and he didn't talk to me the way you like a doctor to talk to you. You know, he had no bedside manner. He was just like out of college. And basically, he gave me a lot of bad news. So I talked to my cardiologist, and he sent me to an interventionist who gave me more bad news. And I basically have a situation that's going to require surgery again. And it's not something, now, let me tell you this, after Bonnie's testimony, I'm open to a creative miracle, but it's not just simply something that you would pray away. It's something that would have to be a creative miracle. Because what I have now, and I'm just telling you this because it's going to affect, I mean, I'm going in Tuesday for tests, and I've got a battery of 3 tests that I have to undergo, and I don't know what they're going to do after those tests. And I could end up having surgery right after those tests. I have no idea. The surgery that I will have, and I will have to have it, or else I won't be your pastor very long, is invasive. So I will be out probably for 8 to 10 weeks. Now I have to share that with you guys because God has been doing some marvelous things in our church. Amen. And there's some wonderful momentum of his spirit and the work in our youth and the work in our children. And I'm counting on you guys. If this is the course, which apart from a creative miracle, let me just put it, I will have to have the surgery apart from a creative miracle because I have an aneurysm on both sides of my aortic root. And they have to replace my aortic root with an artificial root and a new valve. So I share all that with you. On top of that, hey, it even gets better. On top of that, my work situation is very uncertain in my consulting. And the guy that I had relied on for all the 10 years I've been here, he's like my best friend at work and a guy I've worked with for over 30 years, and he really was the one who enabled me to do all the things I do by being my backup. He wasn't a technical guy, but he was a faithful guy. He was a good Oklahoman, and he's in Oklahoma now. He was this good Okie, and he was just a kind-hearted guy. But man, if you asked him to do something, you'd go to the bank on it. I mean, he was going to be there for you. And he retired, and they're not replacing him. And so that's kind of caused a whole nother curveball in my life. And then, on top of that, the owner of the company is 99 years old, and he can't walk anymore, and we don't know how long he's going to live, and I believe the family's positioning to sell the company. And on top of that, I just recently went to a leadership training program. And please, I'm not doing this to elicit sympathy or anything. I'm just telling you kind of where I'm at right now. Can I be that honest and real with you? Amen. I mean, and it's not a confession of doubt. I mean, I'm just telling you where I'm at. Let me say, if there was a method or a program or a little phrase that I could say that would change all of this, I would do it. But there isn't. And that's not even biblical. There's a God who can. You know, I mean, what I always say, can I just dream a little bit? I think like Tuesday, wouldn't it be neat if I went in and they're gonna do a transesophageal echocardiogram, they're gonna do a right heart cath and a left heart cath. Wouldn't it be neat if I went in there and they did all that and the guy said, hey, we don't even see a mechanical valve anymore. Now that would be a creative miracle. You know, I believe God can do that. Okay, so, but that, you know, but can I then be honest with you? That's like, woo. I mean, if he did that, that would be like, woo, you know, and can he do woo? Yeah, does he always do woo? No, I just know that, you know. So we're realistic about these things. But on top of that, I went to this leadership thing and I kind of zeroed in a little bit more on who I am and what I'm doing, and I realized that I have some things in my own personal life to change too. It was called Focused Living Intensive, and I got some focusing to do. So I got some focusing to do, I got some healing to do, I got some reorganizing to do, and all of that, we had to make these big boards, and you had to take and write your whole life on little sticky notes. And yellow was for the events in your life, and pink was for times of crisis. And my board ended with three pinks at this present moment. So the question is, and this is reality, this is where life is at. How do you walk in hope when you're facing that kind of stuff? You can. I want to tell you how. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you that hope that does not disappoint is not tied to your circumstances. It's not tied to your medical diagnosis. It's not tied to whether your best friend retired and moved to Oklahoma. It's not tied to whether the company you're working for is going to dissolve. It's not tied toward the uncertainty of the financial markets in our world. It's not tied to any of those things. It is found only in your position of faith in Christ. Hope that does not disappoint is directly connected to our faith in Christ. It's not in anything else. Hope that does not disappoint is anchored in relationship. Listen to this. And it's buoyed in peace. Now, how many of you ever been out to the ocean and seen the ships that are anchored out in the water? Not in the slips, but they're out there. They're buoyed. You've got an anchor that you drop, and you tie your boat to a buoy. The anchor keeps your boat from drifting out to sea. The buoy keeps your boat from slapping all over the place and hitting the other boats. So we are anchored by our faith in Christ, and we are buoyed by the peace of God that we now have through him. And that's what holds us. John 16:33 says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace. He's our peace. Our relationship with Christ is the only thing that our hope is based on. In fact, if you study the word hope in context throughout the New Testament, it has everything to do with eternal life and our resurrection that affects our own personal life, but it's more about that guarantee of resurrection than it is about the guarantee of our daily circumstance. But what a wonderful thing is that the guarantee of our resurrection reaches into our circumstance and gives us hope in everything we go through in life. I hope you get that. Verse 2 says, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hope that does not disappoint is empowered by grace. Now, I'm just going to ask you a personal favor. I'll tell you another little bit about me. It's kind of like bearing my soul here this morning, but I don't do very good with medical stuff. So please don't come up to me and talk to me about how the operation's done. And please don't come up to me and tell me stories about other people who had the same operation. I won't do well. In fact, when they wheeled me in at times, I just close my eyes, man. I go in there, I close my eyes because I don't like to watch the TV shows. When Karen's watching one of those CSI type shows, you know, I'm watching the basic show like this most of the time. I'm only looking at the eyes of Zechariah out there. I'm not looking at anything else. You know, I go, can I lower my hands now, dear? Can I lower my hands? Because I just don't do well with that. So please, don't give me any of the details. I don't need it. You see, it's anchored, but our hope is anchored in grace. And grace empowers us. It's not in so much how brave we appear or anything about us. It's about his grace that's extended to us through the love and life of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul writes again in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "And God said to him, the Father said to him, 'Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" So when everything in life seems to be going south, how is it that you can keep heading north? The grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. Now listen, some of you have battled things much more difficult than what I'm even facing. I think of Curtis and all that he's going through and all that he's faced, and Jimmy and Tracy and Terry and their walk, and so many of you. I mean, you know, I've seen and we heard the testimony of Bonnie, who lost her husband, and how God's become a father to her. What is it about this group that you face things bigger than you, greater than you, and you've overcome? It's grace. Lana was down for the count. They didn't think she was ever going to get up from that bed again. And I know there were times, Lee, when we were in the hospital room and it just didn't look good. And we were putting on the strong face, but I know you struggled with, is my wife going to be back by my side? And it wasn't that you did anything special or she did anything special, but God's grace came and touched her. Christine's husband, Scotty, got recently seriously injured in a job. And the first person to meet her in the hospital was a chaplain. And now Scotty's home recovering, and God has miraculously touched him. What is it that came and intervened in that situation? It was the grace of God. When Curtis had his second operation where they had to repair his skull from a terrible car accident years and years ago, when I walked in there after he just had, not brain surgery, but skull replacement surgery, I mean, I don't want to know. One time Curtis started telling me on the phone, over the phone, and I was like, he couldn't see me because I was in my study, and I was like, I was falling over. I was like holding on. And I finally took him and I just said, "Curtis, don't ever tell me that stuff again. You know, I'll come visit you, I'll come pray for you, but don't give me the details, buddy, please." But I came in the hospital room and here he's got a scar from here to here. No swelling, sitting up in his bed, testifying of the goodness of God. What is the difference? It's grace. And that's what's going to see me through. It's going to see you through. That's what fuels our hope. Hope that does not disappoint is focused on God's sure promises. I'm still on verse 2, by the way. I got a little time to go. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." It doesn't say all things are good. It says that in life, he takes everything that happens. Some of it's good and some of it's bad. How many ever had anything bad happen in your life? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. So he's taken all those things, both good and bad, and he brings them with his grace and he redeems them. You know, even when I'm going through my times of stupidity, and if you ask Karen after the service, they have been numerous. Don't amen that. That's something that only my wife can amen. I think that was Billy, though. I'll give you a slide on that, Billy. No, it wasn't. You were innocent? Okay, someone else can amen that. I don't even want to know. I want to still love you. Anyway, listen to 2 Corinthians 4:17 to 18. Listen to this. Understand this. He says, Paul says, in light of the hope that we have, he says this, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal." So ultimately, the only thing that's going to really happen out of this, I'm trusting the Lord, is that I'm just going to have cooler parts than you. Cooler and newer parts. I wonder if they could put like a BMW logo on that thing. I don't know. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So this thing called grace comes and it undergirds us, it strengthens us, it equips us, it promises us, it gives us the assurance that everything we go through in life, God is going to take, he's going to redeem, he's going to bring it to an ultimate purpose of good in our lives. I don't know about you, but I want to serve a God like that. I want to serve a God like that. Verses 3 and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So the hope that does not disappoint guides us through all the cycles of life. This is the cycle of life, folks. It just is. We go through times of tribulation. I'm just going to give you some of the meanings of these words. Times of affliction, distress, straits, troubles. Anyone ever gone through any of those? Okay. And then when we go through them, we have the opportunity of how we're going to respond to them. We can get bitter and angry and shake our hand at God. Say, oh, woe is me. Why is everything going wrong? Or we can rise up and we can commit those things to God and trust in his grace. And we can learn how to be what? Patient. The word perseverance, I even like it in the Greek. Hupomone. It just sounds like you just jumped over something. I just hupomone'd myself. I just persevered. It means you're steadfast. You're constant. You endure, you're patient. In the New Testament, this is the characteristic of a man who is not swerved by his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. You know, whenever we think we're facing a mountain that's big for us, there's someone that has a mountain much bigger. Now, that doesn't diminish my mountain or your mountain, does it? Because I don't care, you know, if you take a little Jeffrey and he's got a mountain that's this big and my mountain's like that big, to Jeffrey, his mountain's is as big or bigger than my mountain. So this is never about comparing each other's mountains. Well, my mountain's better than your mountain. My mountain's better than yours. You know, it's not about that. It's about trusting God with our mountains and learning how to persevere. Learning how to hupomone. I like that. It says tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. The word character means approval. The proof of a specimen that's been tried and found to be good. It's gold that's been refined in the fire, that has been put in the crucible of fire only to remove the dross of impurity to bring forth the pure gold that will be valuable. That's what it means. So when we go through difficulties, if we turn it to the Lord, if we entrust it to his grace, we learn how to wait upon the Lord. We learn how to be patient. We learn how to be steadfast. We learn how to endure. We learn how to be faithful. That within itself builds the character of Christ in us, the character of the Lord, the character of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. The final word, we come back to hope. So if we had a wheel here, one of those wheels, and we had the four things, we'd spin it, and all of us would find ourselves somewhere on the wheel of tribulations, perseverance, development of character, or landing in place of hope. And when we land in hope again, the wheel spins again, and it goes around. But as we go around that cycle of life as a believer, we face things differently. About 7 years ago, I was in Kansas City on a business trip. And I had just gone through one of my rounds of heart tests. And they told me my valve was leaking. That's part of the problem too, it's leaking again. They told me my valve was leaking. And I was in Kansas City, and the news came to me over the phone from a nurse. And I want to tell you, I was devastated. I was sitting on the sidewalk, walking to dinner, and I just went, God, what's the deal here? I was angry. I was upset. I said, I don't want to go through that again. And I said, why are you letting this happen? This time, I got the news. And what I was more worried about was my family than me. And do I want to do this? Of course not. Who? Do they give you ice cream when you come out? No, I don't want to do this. But I'm being honest with you that I'm facing it differently than I would have 7 years ago. Because along those 7 years, the wheel of my life has been spinning. And I've gone through tribulation and perseverance. I've grown in character. I've experienced hope. I've been on that wheel with so many of you. And I'm more concerned about you than I am about myself. And I want to see you come to that place of hope. You see, when we grow in this cycle of life, nothing can knock us out of the saddle of grace. As a wise cowboy once said, you take a deep seat and a hard hold. That deep seat is the wonderful grace of God. And you take a hard hold on Jesus. And you hold on and you don't get bucked. Hope that does not disappoint leads us through all these cycles with rejoicing. Now, this is the one that I don't understand. It says, and not only that, we rejoice in all this cycle. And you know what? You know, there was times in my life when I could not rejoice in the cycle. I could not rejoice. I'm not excited about the cycle I'm facing right now, but I can tell you one thing, I'm rejoicing in what I know that God is going to do in and through my life. Regardless of what I have to face, physically or personally, or emotionally, because glory is going to be deposited. It's a boasting, it's a rejoicing, it's a joy. I'm not rejoicing in the affliction, the tribulation, the distress, or the straits, but I'm rejoicing that in spite of all of them, that I know my Lord, that all things are working for my good, and that his purposes for me ultimately are good. They're good. Romans 5:5, worship team, come back up. Say, was he going to end on time again? I don't know. This is getting to be a habit with you, Pastor. It says, now hope, I like this. So now you see where I got the title of the message. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So if my hope, now let me back it up. If my hope is my desire would be that I go Tuesday and I get different news than I've been given by 3 doctors. That would be my desire. If that's my hope, and I lay everything on that hope, And I go in for all those tests and they come back with the same news or worse. You say, boy, this is not a pastor that has much faith, is it? Listen to me. I'm just being real with you. If it's the same or worse, and I go on a downward plummeting spiral in my life and my faith and everything just shatters, then I wasn't anchored in the hope that does not disappoint. Now, hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope that does not disappoint leads us to a deeper, a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and a fuller revelation of his love through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's summed up in these verses in Romans 8. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are all killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all of these things, listen to this, dear ones, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can, I threw the other two nothings in. Is that okay? Can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, but even the powers of hell, they cannot separate us from God's love. No power in the sky, above or below the earth. Indeed, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's stand. Let's worship. Let's let the word of God sink into our hearts. Eddie, lead us. I just bow your hearts before the Lord this morning with me. And some of you, as I've already said, are facing greater mountains than I'm even facing. And I didn't share anything I shared with you this morning to elicit anything other than your prayers and just to let you know what's going on. And I'm really more concerned right now at this moment about you and about you embracing and knowing the hope that does not disappoint. And so I just want to open the altars this morning as we sing this last song for you, just to come and just to say, Lord, the Bible says that we are not disappointed because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I want to invite you to come and just say, Holy Spirit, just begin to wash over me with the love of God. Just begin to fill me anew with the love of God. Just begin to undergird me with hope, the hope that does not disappoint through the outpouring of your love. I just come and I bring my mountain to you. I bring my struggles to you. I bring my challenges to you. I bring my heart and my life to you. Come and wash over me this morning. In Jesus' name, as we sing this song, just come if you just want to have that love just washed over you and just let the Holy Spirit do his work.
Pour out yourself in me. was your blood that paid the debt that I carry. It's your presence that in my pain. It's your glory that invades all my darkness. Pour out yourself in me. Pour out yourself. Stand, see that the Lord is good.
And that's the reality, isn't it? The Lord is good. You know, He's good. He's good regardless what we face. He's good when we're rejoicing in victory. He's good when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's good, and He's preparing a table before us, and He's going to anoint us with oil. And those two little puppies, goodness and mercy, are going to follow us all the days of our life. If you were a Jesus freak and remember the Calvary Chapel tracks, whenever they had on the back, they had, "In goodness and mercy shall follow you," or two dogs, goodness and mercy. They're going to just hound you down, hunt you down. God's mercy and grace are with you this morning. So, Lord, as those who come up, altar prayer team members who are here, if you need further prayer and ministry, anointed with oil, whatever it is, come. But now, would you just take our hearts and without limit, without any kind of governor, without any kind of reservation, would you let there be an outpouring of your Spirit and an outpouring of your love that we cannot contain, that just becomes a river of living water, like a living spring gushing forth from deep within us, and waters our lives and waters those we come in contact with, and just waters those who we go and see, and they see the hope that does not disappoint living within us. And they ask us, what's the reason for that hope? And we can say, there's only one reason, and it's Jesus. Oh God, give us that strength, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope does not disappoint us, because your love is being poured out upon us without measure. Bless your people now. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. In Jesus' name. Go in the love of the Lord this morning. Be encouraged. Walk in hope. If you need prayer, come forward. There's someone here to pray for you.